Alrighty, what's going on, beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of the Trent Corville Show. I am him. I greatly appreciate everybody joining us here on this beautiful Thursday. Happy 2022 to all. I'm very happy to be in this year, very happy to be alive, and more importantly, I am very happy we have a national championship game coming up this Monday. I'm incredibly excited. Obviously, what does that mean? That means the college football season has come to an end, but it by far was one of the best, if not the best, college football seasons that I have ever watched. And you guys know my opinion on college football. It's not the highest form, right? It's not the highest form of the sport. But at the same time, there is so much excitement. There's so much tradition involved. There's so much fanfare involved. It's just fun to get a part of. Real quick, though, on college football, I'm really sick of hearing all of the gripes and complaints about the transfer portal and name, image, likeness. Okay, yes, I understand it's a tad bit out of hand. And I understand that it's college athletics, but that's no longer. This is the minor leagues to the NFL with a side gig of school. Newsflash, it's been like that forever. And I love, like, you know, I've heard people be like, well, you know, they need to be thinking about their degrees. The walk-ons are thinking about their degrees. The third teamers are thinking about their degrees. The guys going to the NFL, potentially going to the NFL that can make money off this sport, they're not thinking about the degree. Sorry, not sorry, because they can make enough money to change their lives, their families' lives, and generations to come by getting to the highest level. And right now, and with NIL, they're able to do that in college. It's beautiful. I love it. Now, the transfer portal, obviously the big news, Caleb Williams transferring out of Oklahoma to explore options, right? Which means what? He's looking for what team, where he can go to make the most money. I love it. Go do it. It's legal. Go do it. Oklahoma gets a new coach. They get a new offensive coordinator. The coach he went to Oklahoma for left the school, and he's the quarterback guru. Couple first-round picks, couple Heisman Trophy winners. It was a no-brainer for Caleb Williams to leave. I didn't think he'd stay. I immediately thought, as soon as the news came out that Lincoln Riley was leaving for the USC Trojans, I said, Caleb Williams is gone. He's going to USC to join Lincoln Riley. I think that's going to happen. I do now with Zach Evans, five-star running back who went to TCU. He's now going to Ole Miss. Obviously, Matt Corral leaving Ole Miss, going to the NFL. I think that could be a good fit. But let's be honest. Caleb Williams, let's go out to LA. Let's join the coach that recruited you. Let's go win a national championship. Go make $15 million in your college career before you inevitably make $150 million in your NFL career. Go do that. It's legal and we should celebrate it because as we've seen this year, what happens with coaches for these young players, the hypocrisy with some of this talk about the transfer portal and the NIL. Yeah, we're upset that a coach, you know, recruited 100 players to come into his program, trusting him, going into families' homes and saying, I'm going to be your guy. He's with me. I'll take care of him. And then to send a text message that say he's leaving right before the college football playoff, potentially getting into the college football playoff and going to another school, having a 3-minute meeting. But we get so upset when a kid enters the transfer portal and wants to leave. And it's funny with the transfer portal too. If it's affecting your team in a positive way, you love it. You absolutely love the transfer. If it's affecting your team in a negative way, shut the whole operation down. I'll never understand that mindset. Let the kids do what they want. They are adults. Adults have the right to make money. They have the right to make their own decisions. That's what they're doing now. I love it. But let's move on, ladies and gentlemen. The college football playoff semifinals came and went on New Year's Eve. Now, big gripe with having it on New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve's an all-day thing. You're prepping the mind. You're prepping the body and you're prepping the soul for what's about to happen in the coming hours, potentially days. It's a prep. You're chugging liquid IVs. You're taking Advil. You're doing what you have to do because you're going to have a good time. I was so lame, ladies and gentlemen, this is my life now, that I was at a party, fun event on New Year's Eve. Now the TV, there's a big old TV in this living room and somebody turns it on by the way, Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper, absolute gold. Once again, the guys all liquored up. I absolutely loved it, but they turned that on, right? And the college football playoff was on. And so what do I do? I go to my phone. I'm the only loser in this entire party watching a blowout game between Michigan and Georgia on my cell phone. So that encapsulates my new year. But anyways, I watched the first game very intently, okay? Bama taking on Cincinnati because it started at 3:30. You're prepping. during 3:30 time. Okay, you're prepping, right? So I'm watching the game. Final score 27-6. It's just funny, right? Because every college football semifinals that we have, oh, this could be a good game. This is going to be a good game. I tell you what, Clemson Notre Dame should be a good one. 38-3. Alabama Cincinnati, group of five. Finally, we let a group of five team, the little guys, we let them in. We let them in. Hey, you went undefeated. You've had a couple great years. You've only lost, what, one or two games? Let's let you in and play with the big dogs. And from the moment the ball was snapped, you knew how that football game was going to go. Same thing with the Michigan and Georgia game. You knew. Alabama ran the ball 41 times in this football game. You had the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback playing football for you, and you ran the ball 41 times. And granted, Bryce Young had a great day. He threw the ball 28 times, okay, which is very low for what he does. Three touchdowns, 181 yards. That's a bad day for Bryce Young in that offense. But what's not a bad day, Brian Robinson Jr., 204 yards on the ground on 26 carries. Absolutely beautiful game. Look, people, it was fun to have Cincinnati in. I'm glad they were in, okay? And they have some phenomenal football players. Desmond Ridder, he's likely to be a first or second round pick playing quarterback for him. He's great. But when he stared down that Alabama defensive line and those linebackers and Will Anderson, who's a monster of a human coming off the edge, this ain't Tulsa, pal. This ain't Navy. This ain't Tulane. This is the big boys. And they showed. Obviously, the final score, 27-6. You're like, oh, they didn't blow them out. They blew them out. Alabama got to the point where they were running the ball so much, they didn't want anybody to get hurt. They were just like, hey, let's just go out there. Let's just run a couple zone reads, throw a slant here and there. Let's just get out of this game. I love that Cincinnati got in. But then I look at, you know, Notre Dame, Oklahoma State, Ole Miss, couple 1-2 lost teams, right? Could they have put up a better fight than Cincinnati? And that's the argument right now. I don't think so. I think any team outside of that, you know, of those three teams, Michigan, Georgia, Alabama, I think all would have had the same result playing Alabama. All of them. Oklahoma State would have lost by 20. Ole Miss would have lost by 20. They already played this year. All in all, what a great game for Alabama. At the start of the season, you know, they get a close win against Florida, which we've seen what's happened in Florida. They win 30-29 against Florida. They couldn't stop the run against Florida, which is very rare. They usually stop them like crazy. Close win against LSU. They had 6 rushing yards in that football game. 4 overtime victory against Auburn. But that Auburn game changed the trajectory of the entire season. Going into 4 overtimes at the Iron Bowl in Auburn. I mean, to win that football game. And yes, Auburn wasn't a great team this year by any means. Alabama should have beat them by 40. But they came back 4 overtimes and showed that, hey, we can run. We can run. And then what did they do in the SEC championship game? They spanked Georgia. 41-24. One close. Georgia looked like Cincinnati looked playing Alabama. They were just outmatched, overpowered. And that usually doesn't happen when you have two of the biggest schools in the SEC facing off with some of the freakiest athletes I have ever seen on the Georgia side. But look, when you look at the stats for Cincy and Alabama, right, the passing yards aren't going to blow you away for Bama, okay? But the rushing yards is what I want to, you know, really hone in on here, because if the Alabama Crimson Tide can run the football effectively against the Georgia Bulldogs, this game is a no-brainer. I realized last time, 41-24, they were throwing the foot. Bryce Young threw 400 yards, 3 touchdowns. Beautiful game. Jameson Williams down the sideline, absolutely gorgeous. And now they don't have John Mechie, one of their top slots, likely a first-round pick. He tore his ACL. So, with all that being said, Georgia is now a 3-point favorite against Alabama. Let's not be fools. These oddmakers, they want people so bad to bet on Georgia. They want people so bad to bet on Georgia. They want people so bad to bet on Alabama. I understand that. But when you crunch the numbers, Nick Saban's been an underdog 8 times in his career. 8 times. That's it. He's won every single one of them. Every single game he's been an underdog, he's won. They were a 6.5-point underdog in the SEC championship game against the Georgia Bulldogs, and they beat them 41-24. Love having Cincinnati in. Great for group of five to get in. Probably the last time until the playoffs are expanded. If you look at the history of the college football playoff, it's all the same kind of games. It's all besides, you know, Georgia and Oklahoma that went into 2 overtimes at the Rose Bowl. One of the best college football games I've ever seen in my entire life. phenomenal game. Outside of that, you don't really have any super competitive college football playoff semifinal games. Now, the national championship's a different story. You know what game was not competitive as well? Was this Michigan-Georgia game. Same thing with the Alabama-Cincinnati game. First snap, you knew. And I was beating Michigan's drum. I was beating it. I said they beat Ohio State. They go into the Big Ten championship. They beat a pretty good Iowa team. Blew them out 42-3. Wasn't even close. Iowa's got a great defense. I was like, oh, here we go. Michigan might be able to take down Georgia. Now we're, you know, staring down an Alabama-Michigan, you know, national championship. That'd be awesome. Alabama would still beat them by 20, but that'd be awesome. But all I have to say about this football game, Georgia's athletes are by far the best in the country. Their third string tight end is 6'8". He's 6'8", 240 pounds. How is that legal? How is a human that size and stature allowed to run around on a college football field? It's very simple to watch a team get overpowered. Just watch the offensive and defensive lines. And by the way, the defensive line for Michigan is likely the number one overall pick in Aiden Hutchinson. He was a Heisman Trophy candidate and a top pick. I'm blanking on his name, number 55. He's from Nigeria. He's an absolute baller of a football player. They're some of the best DNs in the country. They didn't sniff the walk-on quarterback that's starting for the Georgia Bulldogs. They didn't touch him. They didn't touch him the entire game. Is that the difference here? Is this a bigger conversation that always happens? How much better is the SEC compared to every other conference in the country? You know, and Georgia's had phenomenal recruiting classes. Where does Kirby find these guys? Like I don't understand. Where do you find Jordan Davis, a 6'6", 340-pound defensive tackle that runs a sub-5.40? How do you find a human like that? Where are they? And the linebacker, N'Kobe Dean. N'Kobe Dean, I mean, 6'4", 230 pounds, can run a country mile. He's absolutely a phenomenal football player. That's the difference. Because you have guys like that, you know, at every single position, right? It's not just the D-line for Michigan's good. It's not that, oh, they got a good running back. Georgia's got three good running backs. They got a good quarterback. They got a great offensive line. They've got about four or five guys on the defense that are likely first-round picks in the coming years. And same thing with Alabama. Same thing. Now, I was interested with Michigan. They really threw J.J. McCarthy, you know, into the fire, right? Cade McNamara is a good quarterback. He was starting for Michigan majority of the year. And they run a two-quarterback system. You know, they bring J.J. McCarthy in to run the read options, maybe throw a couple passes here and there. But J.J. McCarthy, you know, he threw a touchdown. He threw more passes than Cade McNamara, and Cade McNamara was not hurt. He was under pressure all night, but he wasn't hurt. And what's the saying that we all love to say? You got two quarterbacks, you got no quarterbacks. That's true. Except for, I mean, granted, Chris Leak, Tim Tebow, 2006 National Championship, little bit of a different story. Okay, little bit. Urban made it work. How about Herb? God, I love Herb. Every time he crosses my mind, I go into a state of zen, knowing that he's out of the men's league, probably out of a coaching job forever. Makes me so happy. I feel good now. Anyways, J.J. McCarthy, he's going to be a good football player. I think so. But the Michigan Wolverines reached their ceiling. They reached it. Hey, you won the Big Ten championship. You beat Ohio State. Probably not going to happen for another 8 to 10 years, because if you watch the Rose Bowl with, you know, C.J. Stroud and all of the young wide receivers, Marvin Harrison's, and if you don't know who Marvin Harrison is, look up the highlights on YouTube. Indianapolis Colts longtime wide receiver, caught balls from Peyton Manning forever, Hall of Famer, one of the best to ever do it. His son didn't see the field basically the entire year at Ohio State, goes out in the Rose Bowl, scores 3 touchdowns at receiver. They have guys like that? Just sitting back, because let's remember, the Rose Bowl, Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, both likely first-round draft picks, opted out of the Rose Bowl. They wouldn't play. So Jackson Smith and Jigba, who is a sophomore, who, by the way, Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson said, he's the best out of us three. He's the best. He's the most athletic. He had 324 yards receiving and 3 touchdowns. I'm sorry? Against a Utah team who held Oregon, who scored a ton of points in the season, they held Oregon to 10 points and 7 points in the 2 times they played each other. Ohio State put up 48 points on these guys. And granted, Ohio State's defense, they gave up 45. All right? They gave up 45. Ryan Day, if you're listening, That's the hole you got to fill. You got the quarterback. Okay, you got C.J. Stroud. You clearly have every option you need at the wide receiver position. You just need the defense. Outside of Ohio State, there's nobody else besides Georgia and Alabama that'll make any run at the national championship in the next couple years. Nobody else. Nobody else will come close. Because newsflash, Bryce Young's going to be there next year. Will Anderson's going to be there next year. Brian Robinson's going to be there next year. JT Daniels, five-star quarterback who's sitting on the bench for the Georgia Bulldogs, he'll be there next year. This is the blueprint, right? And Clemson was out of it this year. That was the anomaly. Where's Clemson? This college football playoff is so different this year. It's so different. Yeah, because there's a group of five school instead of an ACC school, which majority of them are basically group of five schools. Let's not be fooled. Let's not get it twisted. The ACC stinks at football. Always have, always will. Their only bright spot, their only stream of revenue has been the Clemson Tigers for majority of time, for the last 10 years. And the Clemson Tigers weren't in it. Now, do I think the Clemson Tigers will get back to that point? No, I do not. I don't. I think their time's done. Their coaches leave. Dabo's scrambling. He's very reluctant to use the transfer portal to bring in talent. And there's a guy in Columbia, South Carolina, about two and a half hours down the road that's using it to his advantage. Hey, let me go get the best quarterback in the transfer portal, Spencer Rattler. Let me go get his tight end as well. Let me get a couple other guys as well. That's a new age college football. And we have coaches like Dabo who are reluctant, who say, oh, no, this is not how it's done. It's how it's done now. And you better hop on. Like, perfect example, Alabama, there's a running back for Georgia Tech. Great running back. Don't know why he was at Georgia Tech. Absolutely baffling. He need to get out of there. What does Nick Saban do? Come on to Alabama. We'll teach you how to be a running back. Now he's at Alabama. He just transferred to Alabama. Jameson Williams, perfect example. Ohio State, packed wide receiver room. Absolutely packed, like I just mentioned. He transfers. Where does he go? Alabama. Nobody's transferring into Clemson. Nobody. Everybody's transferring out of Clemson. That's how it's going. And the clear sign for me with Clemson was three defensive players that were committed all went to the same high school, IMG Academy. It's like the high school I went to, just a ton more money. You got to pay $80,000 a year. They got all the facilities. They just pump out talent. They had three defenders on their team, all committed to Clemson, all decommitted as soon as Brent Venables left. As soon as Brent Venables left, all decommitted. And the defensive line coach, which has been an incredible bright spot for Clemson over the years, Todd Bates, he just left to go to Oklahoma as well. I think Clemson's time is done. And who can rise up as that other team? It's clearly not Michigan. It's clearly not Cincinnati. Can Marcus Freeman do what he has to do in Notre Dame? Can he build that? I don't think so. Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss build a power in the SEC? I don't think so, because he has to play Alabama every year. He has to play Auburn every year. He has to play LSU every year. Let's stop hoping that there's going to be change in college football outside of transfer and NIL on the field play. And that's my big argument to a lot of people that I talk with about the transfer portal and about NIL and about opt-outs. Has play on the field changed at all? No, it hasn't. It's gotten better, actually. The game has gotten better with all of these changes. If you want 1970s, it was 7-10. What a defensive battle. Go get it. That's what you want. It doesn't happen any longer. Go watch highlights on YouTube. It's about the offense, because what does the offense do? Score touchdowns. What does touchdowns do? Sells tickets. You want to make the most money you possibly can, and that's college football. It's the minor leagues, and I absolutely love it. The play on the field hasn't changed at all, and that's why I'm saying Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State will be the only three teams to compete for national championships for years to come. A guy transferred from Ohio State to Alabama, and Kirk Herbstreit going on game day and saying, oh, well, these guys, they just don't love football. They don't love football anymore. This era of players doesn't love football anymore. He was talking about opt-outs, right? Specifically, Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, receivers for Ohio State. He said, this era of player doesn't love football as much as we did. He was talking to Desmond Howard and him. I was so baffled by that comment. I said, no, they love football so much that they don't want to risk their future football career by playing in a bowl game that's not in the college football playoff. They don't want to risk that. They don't want to risk the millions of dollars they can make for themselves and their family for this bowl game. They love football that much that they're already beginning training for the NFL draft. They're already getting their bodies ready for the NFL. That's how much they love football. I'm sorry, tradition is gone. Loving your team. Oh, loving the school. Give me a break with all that. I mean, it's ridiculous. There's one common goal in mind for any 3 to 5-star recruit going into college football. How do I get to the men's league? How do I get there? And if that's transferring to another school, transfer to that school. If it's opting out of a bowl game, opt out of that bowl game. Go get your money, kid. That's how it should be. It shouldn't be, oh, well, he doesn't love football. He just doesn't love football. He doesn't want to play with his teammates. He doesn't want to do it for his brothers. I'm done with that. I won't even get into it because of how done with it. But I want to give my prediction for the national championship game. Like I said, Georgia's a 3-point favorite. Put the mortgage on Alabama. I came on this very program and bet on Georgia to win the SEC championship game. Nick Saban, 6.5-point underdog. I said, oh, yeah, Georgia's got this locked up. They got this locked up. They'll win by a touchdown. And they got blown out. I'm not making that mistake again. I'm taking Alabama money line. That's what I'm doing. And yes, there are problems. John Metchie's not going to be playing, but you have the Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback. You have a top 10 pick catching passes for you. You got Will Anderson at the defense. And quite honestly, Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, who lives, you know, who coached with Nick Saban for a long time now at Georgia. He was the defensive coordinator at Alabama. He lives in Kirby Smart's head rent-free. No rent being paid whatsoever. Nick Saban lives in the front of that guy's mind. Perfect example, the 2018 National Championship. Georgia had that lockdown. What happens? Alabama comes back with a different quarterback at halftime and beats you. And Kirby will remember that forever. The best advice I could give, don't bet against Nick Saban. It's like don't bet against Tom Brady. Don't bet against Bill Belichick. Right? I've actually made some money betting against Bill Belichick this year. Haven't made any bet against Tom Brady. I'll tell you that matter. Side note, Aaron Rodgers, minus 400 to win the MVP. Thank you. Check it off. Appreciate it. Scorched earth Aaron Rodgers. He's calling out reporters. How about the guy, and let me get on this for a minute. How about the guy, the reporter, the one of the Chicago beat writer, who's an MVP voter for the NFL, goes on a radio show doing a radio hit saying, Aaron Rodgers is a jerk and I'm not voting for him because of the way he hurt his team. Guys like Jonathan Taylor deserve it more than a guy like Aaron Rodgers. So let me get this straight. He hurt his team, but the Packers are the number one seed in the NFC. They have home field advantage and a first round bye, and he's thrown 25 touchdowns in the last 10 games with 0 interceptions. How did he hurt his team? I'm confused. And also, you're an MVP voter, and that's why so many pundits are going on TV being like, take the guy's vote. This can't happen. An MVP voter can't go on a radio show and say, well, I'm not voting for this guy, in quotes, because he's a jerk. Some of these writers, you know, some of these writers, especially people voting, you know, think they have so much power. Their decision matters. No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter at all. You look at the numbers, you look at the on-the-field play, and you look at the standings, first round bye. Everything's going through Lambeau. That's what we wanted as Packers fans. Go through Lambeau. Aaron Rodgers' toes getting healthy. Devontae Adams is feeling himself. Packers win the Super Bowl. Done deal. But anyways, Alabama, I take them +3. I'm taking them money line. The only problem I have with Georgia is that the only game they've had to go, you know, third, fourth quarter, really get after it, was the SEC Championship, and they got waxed. They got absolutely waxed. Because during the regular season, sitting the starters third, fourth quarter, you know, because they were blowing everybody out. And Alabama wasn't blowing everybody out in the regular season, but they played all four quarters, and they played all four quarters hard. The key for Alabama in this game, tempo. Got to move quick, just like they did in the SEC Championship game. If you move quick, if you make these defensive linemen tired, you can have opportunities downfield and use the best option you have, and that's Jameson Williams on the outside. This guy might be the fastest human I've ever seen in my life. He's tall, he's lanky, he's the perfect NFL build. Perfect NFL build. Bryce Young, I think he'll have a couple touchdowns. Definitely, hopefully Brian Robinson gets going, because if they can establish the run game, especially early, we all know that opens up for the pass game. So we'll see. I'm pretty excited about it. College football season coming to an end. NFL playoffs starting. I'm absolutely pumped for that, because that's what truly matters in football. It's the NFL. It's the NFL playoffs. It's the Super Bowl. It's the MVP. That's what we all want to see. And then, you know, come February 15th, football's over. I was sitting down a couple days ago and I said, wow, I really got to start paying more attention. I got to start watching more Heat games. I got to start watching. And so what did I do last night? I watched three pointless NBA games. Because I said, I need to see how the boys are playing. I need to see how the boys are moving. I paid for a free month trial. Actually, not free. I mean, you got to pay $7.99, and that's a discount for the NBA Network. Just because that's how I do it. I greatly appreciate everybody joining us here. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Be a friend, see a friend, tell a friend. I will see you all next Thursday. Peace and love.